Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so I thought the show was supposed to be, like, I was going to name it about pooping your pants, but I feel like it needs to be Detroit.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
It should just be, why did we talk 30 minutes about the Lions? It was a lot of Lions talk.
Was it Lions talk or was it just football betting talk?
I think it was football betting talk. We didn't even talk about our bets from last week.
No, yeah. Well, we referenced them early and then...
It got sidetracked. All right, so let's talk about these bets from last week. So I got the West Virginia over Virginia Tech. I got the Memphis +3.5 over Mississippi State. Thank you for changing my bet on that one. But then Bama... Dude, I cannot believe that Bama-Florida game.
Yeah.
Like, is Florida that good or is Bama that suspect this year?
I don't know. I think something funky happened because Bama got up early and then it kind of tapered off or whatever.
But this whole season seems weird. Like, this whole college football season this year seems weird.
That's what I was saying to my buddy, is like, Bama was the only team that I felt comfortable betting on, like, at all. They were the only team that I was like, yeah, they're good. Everyone else was like, yeah, they had a good game, but then they had a bad game, or like, this part of their offense is great, but they're, you know what I mean? Like, everyone else had so many questions, and then Bama goes down to Florida and does that.
Guys, this beer was really fucking good.
Dude, this Dunkel was amazing.
I mean,
I didn't want to hold you up or get into it anymore, but I wanted to say, I was like, man, Dunkels are one of those beers I just don't fucking like. Like,
I know, I've never been a fan.
Like, I've had probably one or two in my life, and I'm always just disappointed. I'm like, these beers aren't good. Like, it's like a shitty brown ale mixed with red ale. Like, it just doesn't work for me.
This one, the vanilla in this one comes through strong. It's got some good vanilla.
I love Dunkels, especially, well, mainly because I get them down at Hoffer House, but like, like, that's
see at Hoffer House. Whenever I go, I always get what's the light?
Oh shit!
What's the lightest colored one? Like, the one that basically looks like Bud Light.
Well, now I got to look that up. I'll look that up. You keep talking.
Because it's been so long, like, I can't even remember like the name. I just remember the Dunkel. The Dunkel.
Oh shit! Wait, Mike, is that's the Wibby Brewing Dunkel? Oh
yes, yeah,
that's your dude. Yeah,
isn't the Dunkel the darker one?
Yes, like, Dunkel is darker.
Right. Like, I've had that like once or twice, maybe ever at a Hoffer House.
Is it the Hefeweizen that you get, Scott?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's ugh. Ugh. Mm. Ugh, with just the side of ugh.
Well, and then didn't you have a Hefeweizen like a week or two ago?
Yeah, they're so shitty, man. I don't know how you like them.
They usually are. Like, I actually agree with you. But when I go to Hoffer House, it's the only beer that I can stand.
I'll do a Doppelbock.
I feel like Hoffer House in general is just good beer. Like, even their shit beer is still solid. Like, it's drinkable.
Now, I will say, I have not been to Hoffer House in so long.
That's awesome.
My beer taste and palate has changed so much that I'd probably go in there and it would be a completely different story today.
Fun fact, that's where Alex and I had our first kiss, was at Hoffer House down in Newport.
Oh, it's cute that you remember that. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm. It was my 22nd birthday. She came down. She was underage and she almost didn't get in because it was after 10. And if you were under 21, you weren't allowed in after 10. And she was like, come on, I'm trying to meet my friend, please. It was like 10:45. I was already hammered.
I was going to say, that's why I'm impressed you remembered.
It was a good night. It was a very good night.
I mean, clearly, you made two kids out of it.
Well, not that night. Yeah, that would be that's a problem.
Well, in
the same token, I've now had two blonde ales, which I'm usually like very like on. They're usually like boring, like non flavored beer. But this one and that snow bunny one that I had, delicious. Yeah. Like back to back blonde ales that I'm like, if blonde ales always tasted like this, I would drink more. But usually blonde ales are just like, there's like no flavor.
It's tough. The other thing is too, a lot of times blonde ales, they're too thin. There's just like nothing to them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Really thin. The flavor is like so lackluster that I'm always just like I'm drinking a blonde ale. I'm like, I might as well drink a Bud Light. Like there's nothing here. But the last two that I've had, like the flavor has been amazing.
What was the ABV on those two that you had? Were they decent ABV? Because that's the other thing I don't like about blonde ales is I feel like I'm wasting.
Yeah, blonde ales are usually like 4.
They're always pussy light. They're always like
Like I don't want. Yeah, I don't want. If I'm spending craft beer prices, I don't want like 4.5-5% beer. Like give me a beer that I know I'm getting my money.
Agreed, and that's why these two stand out. I think it's because this one is 6%, and that one I think was 5.7.
See, like these Dunkels are 7.5. That's what I'm talking about right there. Nice. All right. So I went 2-1 because that Bama game was just insane. I still don't know how that happened. Scott, you went 1-1 last week. You picked UC over IU. Good win. But then you had Auburn +6.5 over Penn State and lost. Is James Franklin going to leave for USC? Like, is he done at Penn State? Because that's the rumor, is that he's the front runner for the USC job.
That would be too good of a hire. So my guess is no. That's easy. We're at the point with USC where I'm just like, they've got to go back in time or they've got to hire Pete Carroll out of, you know, like lure him away from Seattle. Otherwise, it's like it has struggled to be a destination job the last few years. Like, look at how many blunders they've had since Pete Carroll left.
Well, you got to give them a little bit of grace on the first one, because after the first one, you've got all the sanctions, right? So nobody's touching that job at first. So you got like, all right, let me go back through who their coaches were.
We've got Lane and we've got Sarkisian. And then like after that, I kind of lost track. I don't know if he was right away, but I mean, Lane and Sarkisian are both in there. Like, as far as like when they were still kind of relevant ish.
So yeah, Lane was there right after Pete. I didn't realize that. Holy shit.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I was like, you had Lane, like it was right. And then Sarkisian was like either the next one or the one right after that. Like
he was there. Lane was there for 3 years plus a little bit of 2013. Why did they fire Lane Kiffin? Listen to his record at USC. Looking back now and understanding like they had all the sanctions and all that shit from Pete Carroll. Sure. Lane Kiffin went 8-5 his first year. He went 10-2 his second year and came in first in the Pac-12 South. In 2012, he went 7-6. And then in 2013, that's when he got fired. And I don't know what they started off at that year. That's when Ed Orgeron came in and like took over and then got over. They picked Helton over Ed Orgeron.
Sure.
Yeah, he was a Southern dude.
But they picked Helton. Like Helton coached and then they hired Sarkisian. And then they fired Sarkisian and hired Clay Helton as the head coach. So like Clay Helton was an interim head coach that didn't get the job and still stuck around and then ended up getting the job.
And then got fired.
Yeah, and then got fired. Well, because he's really shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been a huge series of missteps ever since, like, honestly, like, I even give him credit for Sarkisian. Like, but ever since then, it's just been a nightmare.
Now, you know what it is? It's been a mess ever since Lynn Swann was hired as AD.
You might be onto something there.
Well, I was going to say, because Lynn Swann took over for Pat Hayden, right?
Yep.
Well, the best is like Sarkisian tried to rebrand himself going to Alabama and coaching under Saban, and now he's at Texas and he's getting his shit stomped in by Arkansas. Like, Sarkisian is not a good coach. I don't know why people Sarkisian thought he was a good coach when he got hired by Texas. People were like, oh, hell yeah, Sarkisian, he's turned around. He's really good. Now he's sober. He's going to be great. No, he's a terrible coach.
He's and in fact, I don't understand.
Oh, that's right. That's why he got fired.
Coach thing has ever come from, because he's always seemingly been the college version of what's of North Turner. North Turner, great offensive mind, but cannot be
a great coordinator. Great coordinator. Can't
do not be a head coach.
There is no shame. I don't understand. There is no shame in being a great coordinator. I don't know why these guys feel like they have to go head coach route. Like, it's cool to be a good coordinator.
Well, but I think what it is, like, if you're a good coordinator and someone offers you head coaching opportunity, you're going to turn down.
No, but when you fail and then you go back and you're a great coordinator, is it worth like being like, well, I'm going to uproot my family. I'm going to move. And I know I'm going to be fired in a few years.
Really? You think they give a fuck about their family?
No, but like,
I'm actually with Mookie on this one. They don't think about their family.
That's fair. But like, knowing you're going to be fired in a few years, like Sarkisian, when he leaves Alabama, he's got a sweet gig at Alabama. He knows he's got all of the, like, he's set. Alabama, Nick Saban isn't going anywhere until he dies. So he's set as the offensive coordinator there as long as he wants. He uproots his family, goes to Texas, and he knows he's going to get fired in 3 years because he's not a good head coach.
No, because these dudes, they're the biggest idiots in the world. Like, they're the ones that convince themselves they can fix Sam Darnold.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Egos are a motherfucker, man. They all think, right, that, oh, man, this head coaching gig, I got this.
It's going to be different. I've learned. Things are different now. Like,
and in Sarkisian's case, he's just like, I got out of the bottom of a bottle. I'm fine.
And if I'm not, well, I can always go back to being drunk.
Right. I mean, you know, I get fired from this gig, I'll just go back to drinking. Fuck it.
It's working for John Daly. Why can't I make it work?
Mookie, you went 1-1. So all of us lost a game on this parlay. I'm glad it wasn't just me. I'm glad we all lost one, because Mookie.
Yeah, yours meant the most.
No, it didn't. What? Mine wasn't game 16 of a 16 game parlay that cost us the money.
Yeah, but like,
I still loved how the gambling expert on the show tried to school us on the Ravens Chiefs. And again, this is another time when you betting the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes, and you're just completely wrong. Like, you have no idea how to bet the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes.
Picking Baltimore wasn't that crazy of a pick. Ronnie Stanley's out. They're decimated with injuries. Yeah, any given Sunday.
I didn't know that Stanley was out.
Dude, they were like, I'm telling you, Baltimore fans were like, fuck it, our season is done. Like, after week one, they were like, we are done. Throw in the towel.
Yeah, no, they, and you know what? They had every reason to.
And it's not like they were playing Tom Brady.
No, you're playing Patrick Mahomes. You got Patty.
He's not that good. He's only got one title.
Yeah, exactly. There's his betting strategy for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes again.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night, everybody.
He's no Eli Manning, all right? He's not walking around with two Super Bowl rings.
He's no Eli Manning.
If Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whatever that dude's name is, doesn't fumble that football, they win that game. Like, hands down. As a matter of fact,
ironically, you say that, and if he hadn't fumbled that fucking football, I wouldn't have lost by one fucking point in that league.
I don't want to talk fantasy football. I don't want to talk fantasy football.
I don't either, but here we are.
I lost to somebody who didn't start two positions. And
you're
not
the only
like
thing that's keeping me from pulling the trigger.
Dude, and it's not even like defense and kicker. She didn't start a running back or a wide receiver and beat me by 30 points.
How the hell, man?
Because Joe Burrow threw three interceptions and Jarvis Landry got hurt and Kittle didn't do dick shit in that game, so fuck him too.
Mike, oh, I so yeah, badly. No.
After last year, when I finally, like, I rarely ever get Niners because it just, it doesn't, it never lines up. And I'm very weary about, you know, having your own team because, you know, the old adage of you get burned twice or, it's doubly shitty if they don't win and you lose fantasy. Last year, I had Kittle in two leagues and he missed 8 games. And the games that he did play in, he was so pedestrian. And I was like, you know what? As much as I love Kittle, that's my dude. Never again. Like,
see, refuse. I didn't want Kittle.
The Shanahan offense is too unpredictable.
I didn't want Kittle. Kittle was my third tight end that I wanted to pick up. I wanted to go Kelce or Waller, but they both got snatched up early. So then I was like, well, I guess I'll take Kittle so that I'm not stuck with some garbage ass tight end. And little did I know I was getting stuck with a garbage ass fantasy tight end.
Yeah. You should have read an article or two.
No, I did, but he was the next best pick. Who else are you going to pick after Kelce and Waller? Who else are you going to get?
Anyone in like the 15th round.
Okay, first of all, my draft I don't think went 15 rounds. I don't know. I wasn't there for all of it. I auto-drafted some of it because I was like, this is boring and I'm leaving.
Here's your problem. Yeah.
No, I got decent players. My lineup isn't bad.
You got Kittle. What are you talking about? I got decent players.
That was who? Name a tight end who was going to do better than Kittle, projected to do better than Kittle, besides Kelce and Waller, who I wanted.
Now, are you saying in just points or are you saying in value?
Points. Who is going to do better than Kittle, projected to do better than Kittle? Because everybody had Kelce, Waller, and Kittle as the top three tight ends in fantasy this year.
Scott, that's a cute shirt. Is that an Avenger shirt?
Yes.
Adorable.
It's, yeah. Anyway, no, Mike, your thinking is sound. Like you're like I made sure though that I was in no, like I refused this year because I was like, look, I'm not gonna get Kelce because I refused to take a tight end in the first round and a half of the draft, and that's where he was going. So
I was right, like, that's what I wasn't gonna take him in the first round.
I did it. I'm not rooting
for a Raider, and most of the time, again, he was going too high in Waller, and so Kittle, I was like, I don't want to say I had him on my do not draft list, but I was like, if I find myself in a position where Kittle's available and I could take anyone else, I'm probably just going to take anyone else. That way I don't get screwed again. Like I don't have to sit there and be sitting there on Sunday thinking, Jesus, the 49ers are going to lose. And Kittle only had 2 catches because he stayed in block. Like that's the problem. He's so good of a blocker that he stays in too much.
I should get points for that. I should get points for him because that's part of the tight end position. I should totally get points for him.
I agree. But like, that's the problem with the Shanahan offense is
motherfucking Shanahan
going to go off. It's never the same person. And while you're thinking, wow, Kittle should be far and away the one that they target the most, he stays in the block so much that, and now they double bracket him that it's just like, it's a fool's errand to like pick him.
In fairness, Kittle would have been fine. Like, I mean, I think it was like 7 points I got from him, but the Jarvis Landry injury was what did me in. When he got hurt and I got a point out of Jarvis Landry as my wide receiver 1, I was fucked. I knew it. I knew as soon as.
Wait, back up. Jarvis Landry is your wide receiver 1?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you're fucked to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot be your wide receiver.
No, I know. God. Like, that was, dude, I'm telling you, this draft was.
Did you at least snake awful. Running backs to start?
I did snake running backs to start.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, I'm like, if he's your wide receiver.
I loaded up on running backs to start.
You better have the best running backs in
the
league.
Yeah. I don't have the best because I didn't have the first overall pick. And the dude I played in week 1 had Christian McCaffrey. And that's the other thing, too. Like, the week 1, I scored the second highest point total and got smoked by 20 points because the dude had Christian McCaffrey and Waller, and he had Cooper, who scored 30 points on Thursday night. So I was fucked week 1. Like, I got destroyed on week Amari Cooper.
All right, I'm going to bounce, but yeah, all I want to say is, Mike, wait. I really want to text you after that first Joe Burrow interception, but in the time it took me to try to think of something sneaky and clever to say, he threw a second interception, and I didn't say anything at all.
And then a third.
And then he threw a third, I found out, like, a day later. I didn't even realize that until much
It was 3 straight possessions, wasn't it? Like,
three, yeah. No, it was 3 picks on three straight passes.
It was three straight passes.
It wasn't even three straight. Like, I was, because I was at my neighbor's house and I had the Niners game on my laptop or whatever. So I was watching and I saw the two, but I didn't, I was like not paying attention enough to know that it was three consecutive passes.
He was my starting quarterback.
Oh, right before that.
Love you too, Abby. Good night.
He was my starting
quarterback. Okay, love you too. Good night.
He was my starting quarterback.
Oof, man, that's rough.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I can put up 148 points and still fucking lose by less than a point, and then put up 138 and still lose. So, you know, it's whatever.
I hate fantasy football.
Oh, yeah. No, I do too.
I hate it. I hate it so much. This is why I don't play. This is why I never do it.
Firmly cemented why I don't play. Like, so much so that I was like, I didn't care enough to just not do it, I'd wanted to quit. I was like, this is dumb.
Mookie left before we could talk about his bets, but he had BYU losing to Herb Edwards in Arizona State. And he lost that one.
I was so glad that you didn't let him skate because I was like, it was ready for me. As soon as he stopped talking, I was like, all right, we're going to bring up this Herb Edwards thing right now.
Herb. Like, and then he tried to play it off like, oh, I'm combining Herb and Herm. No, you're not. You thought the dude's name was Herb Edwards.
I think his trying to skate out of it with his backwards ass math was some of the best Mookie I've ever seen. He's like, well, I mean, you know, if you combine, I was like, what?
If you combine Herb and Herm, because Herm is finishing out the second half of the season, then it's Herb. It's like, wait a second. Wouldn't Herm have to be the beginning of this? Because otherwise it's Herm. That's the name you should have gone with if that's how you were trying to spin this.
I think why it was peak Mookie and why it might be my favorite thing he's ever done is even he halfway through was like, oh my god, this is bullshit. And he just abandoned it. Like, just stopped talking, was just like, and yeah.
God.
Mookie very rarely gives up on a point he's trying to make. Like, even if he's defeated, this one he couldn't get out of and was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm done. He just stopped talking. Like, just stopped talking.
I feel like that shook him the rest of the show. He was shaking the rest of the show after that.
He was abnormally quiet on some of that stuff. Like, he bounced back. But yeah, there was a good like 20 minutes there where I could tell he was like, oof, I gotta be careful. I made a complete ass of myself just now.
Like, what do you think it was?
Double down like he usually does. Like,
what do you think it was, that or the comment off the rip about where he like said something about Indians and you corrected him and said Native Americans and shook him? Because I feel like that may have been the one. It was that followed up by the Herb, and that he was shook the rest of the night.
I almost did, and it didn't ruin anything for me. Like, I figured you guys were like fine too. But at one point I did almost do one of those cardinal sin things and be like, I just want to shout out the one person that is watching us right now.
Did you see when it dropped to zero? Did you see when it dropped to zero?
I didn't. Oh. I was watching and I thought, I was like, is it gonna drop lower? Because it was at one, and then I was like, well, it's probably actually at zero because I'm guessing the one is one of us.
It dropped to zero and my heart sank. I almost went and like retweeted that we were live again. Like, it was it hurt.
Like, that's how bad it was. I was like, this is the first time I've ever wanted to say mid show, holy god, nobody is watching.
It was rough. And I'm like, I'm sitting there like, okay, I feel like the topics are good. Like, the show isn't bad. And in my head, I'm like, it's fine. People will catch it on the replay. Something's going on. People are watching something. The U.S. is under attack right now, and I don't know it because I'm doing the show. There's something that like is distracting everybody. And I just kept telling myself that there was a bombing in Times Square, and that's why nobody was watching, because everybody's watching the news. Like, I did it just for my own sanity. I didn't think that really happened, but for my own sanity, I was like, okay, there was a mass murder somewhere.
I was just sitting there thinking, you know what? The content is so good. Like, right now, like the show is good. Like, it is what it is. Like, I didn't get mad. I didn't get panicked. It actually made me laugh. I was like, wow, there's one person watching us right now, like one, and it's probably one of us just getting tallied. Like, whoo, man, that's low, but whatever. And I actually legit did think it was funny, like, bringing it up twice, but the fact that we talked so long and so much about the motherfucking Lions, to me, was hilarious.
It is pretty damn funny. It's like, pretty fucking funny.
I actually couldn't believe how, like, adamant, like, Drew was about how it wasn't, like, that wasn't the bad part of the bet. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, dude. Like, I don't gamble. And I know, like, that was stupid.
I get his thought process of, okay, you bet on the Lions because then it takes it up to 730K as your payout. I understand that. But my point that he wasn't grasping was you bet on the Packers and you win 250K on that parlay. Like that, or right. 400K, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's still right. a 16 game parlay. The odds right. are still crazy and it's a huge payout.
Well, and that was my thing that I felt like he wasn't fully grasping. As I was saying, if I'm going to bet a parlay and you ask me to pick 16 games and I'm just like, look, the goal here is to win. It's not necessarily to win like the most money I could by taking all the long shots and, like, you know, getting it up there. It's just to win. Like, literally, there are certain games that when you look at it, that you're just like, wow, this is a no-brainer. And to me, the Packers-Lions yes. was the one. Where hands you're just down. Like, well, I'm not going to lose this parlay because of this game. You know why? Because the Packers are slam dunk. Like,
right.
And they were. From the minute that
right.
the game ended the week before, like, that was the one that if you're looking at the list this week, you're like, oh, well, I mean, I don't need to debate.
Like, if you're doing a confidence pool, that is your highest confidence pick. Packers yes. over Lions. Yes. Hands down, 100%. Done. Got it.
Yeah,
I'm locked in.
And wouldn't have thought twice about it.
Yes, and if you're doing a survivor pool, this is when you burn Green Bay, because you're like, I got it. That's the Green Bay wins this game.
There's no other time that Green Bay is a slam dunk like this, except for when they play the Lions again.
Again, right.
There's only two times that they're a slam dunk the whole year, and both of them when they're playing the Lions.
But this was at Green Bay, right? So, like, that's even more of a slam dunk. Like, it's like...
There's not a single thing that you could tell me that you'd be like, you know, the Lions had a shot to win this game other than going off of Mookie's any given Sunday. Like, that's it. That's all you could say is like, well, stranger things have happened.
The only thing that could have... If they were like, Aaron Rodgers is dead... Jordan Love is starting his first start. Also, the left side of the offensive line has COVID. I would be like, oh shit, the Lions have a chance. They have a chance. They're not going to win. They have a chance.
I was just going to say, because then in that scenario, then I'd be using the Mookie logic of, yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, but I mean,
any given Lions, Sunday.
The Packers are home and any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday, the practice squad left tackle that they called up, he might be good, man. I don't know.
Right. I mean, it'd be like, if Jordan Love is ever going to win a game in his career, it's going to be against the Lions.
You know why? Green Bay might have a quarterback controversy on their hands after this. Jordan Love leads them to a win because, I mean, look, they drafted him for a reason.
And then he's like, oh, man, no, the Ravens, like, he was hard-nosed.
But the Ravens, that was a smart pick. Why wouldn't you pick the Ravens? I loved when it was... the Ravens
sure John Harbaugh lost money on that, but he's like, ah, shit, we won tonight.
Dude, when they went for it on fourth down, John Harbaugh was like, you want to go for it? And Lamar was like, yeah, and he was like, let's go for it. And then Harbaugh went back to the sidelines. You didn't see him go, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And then when Lamar got the first down, John Harbaugh went, holy shit, I just beat the Chiefs. And he went home and he jerked off everywhere.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
That really was a terrible tattoo too. Like,
oh, God, it was bad.
If I'm doing something like that off of a meaningless regular season game,
it's a week two game.
Oh God, man, just a regular, like, you've got to explain that one the rest of your life too. And where, like, I couldn't tell, was that his arm, was it his leg, wherever it was,
I don't know.
They shaved because there was, you know, the bare spot there. So it's like, you shaved your arm or your leg to get this shitty tattoo on top of it? Like, good God, man.
You're terrible. Like, and no tattoo. It'd be different if there was a ton of tattoos around it.
Right. You just, you're like, hey, first ever tattoo. Like, just write something on me. Write the score. I was kind of disappointed that, you know, Joey was in town this weekend doing the fucking thing. He was getting, did you see where he was like behind that chick for a while?
What happened?
Chestnut. He was in town doing the fucking, the brat challenge.
Oh, he did the brat challenge.
He was actually behind the chick like for a while. Like,
oh shit.
Like, I don't know how many he got behind, but she was ahead for a bit. And then, you know, I know it mostly because he said in this post game, he's like, yeah, you know, it was fun, and especially when you could see her slowing down. Like, I knew I had her then. Like,
he was pacing
way in front and was, like, you know, super ahead, and then slowed down so much that his consistent ass just passed her. But, I mean, maybe it's because it's brats. I don't know. But, like, it was the first time he looked like he was struggling at anything I've seen him do. Like,
oh, shit.
The hot dogs look pretty easy for him, but the brats, like, his face looked like he was struggling.
Well, those are, I mean, I get it. Those gotta be tough. Those have gotta be tough to put down.
When a chick was sitting there taking him down with ease, even if she got out to an early lead, it's just like, eesh.
The record is Carmen Sincotti, who ate...
Hey, breaking news, Mike. My wife just said after I said that, chicks eat dick. Like, well, I guess that's... Never mind. Silly me coming in unarmed with the knowledge of chicks eating dick.
If a chick ate a dick like that, like you eat a brat, that's going to be a problem. Like, I would not want anywhere near that. I'd be like, I'm good. Did you see they announced the pumpkin pie eating contest?
Who had a pie eating contest?
They're going to do a pumpkin pie eating contest at the Jeffersonville Outlet Mall and Major League Eating. Yeah.
Oh.
The record, Matt Stoney holds the record. He ate 20 pounds of pumpkin pie in 8 minutes back in 2014.
Like, okay. So how many pies is that though?
I don't know, but that's 20 pounds worth of food, like regardless of how many it is.
I mean, I get that. Like that's a crazy amount.
Oh, there you go. They were 13 ounce pies. So about 18 pies in 8 minutes.
See, because that, like, the number when you say 20 pounds is like, okay, that sounds like a lot. But, I mean, if he's eating the filling, you know. But, like, when you put it in perspective of how many pies it is, it's like 18 pies and
18-ish, yeah. Between 17 and 18 pies.
No, like, sure, yeah, okay, yeah. Whatever. So we're saying...
But, okay, so here's what blew me away. They announced today that they're doing this at the Jeffersonville Outlet Mall in, like, 2 weeks, right?
Okay.
First prize... is $2,000.
That's it?
Right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is a sanctioned
18 pies.
This is a sanctioned Major League Eating event, and they are giving somebody $2,000 for eating like a shitload of pumpkin pie. Even at like 15 pumpkin pies, I'd be like, wait, I gotta travel to Jeffersonville, Ohio, and then I have to eat 15 pumpkin pies. I'm good. I'm good.
I want you to stop and like actually think about how much pumpkin pie that is, and put it in the scale of
18 pumpkin pies, like in your life.
I don't think I've eaten. No,
that you've eaten the equivalency of 18 pumpkin pies. Like, I've had a lot of pumpkin pie, and like, I guarantee you that, like, yeah, in my life, like, I'd probably be like shocked at like how much pumpkin pie I've actually eaten. But that's over the course of a lifetime. Yeah.
No, I've
and to say that you ate 18 in 8 fucking minutes.
Drank 18 pumpkin pies worth of pumpkin, but that's beer. That's it. That's the closest I've gotten.
Now that I'm with, like, but like, I'm sure I would be shocked at the number of, like, the amount of pumpkin pie I've eaten, like, you know, an entire lifetime. And I, but again, it would be like, okay, but that's an entire, that's 36 years worth of pumpkin pie eating. And it'd be like, even if I doubled it, even if they were like, yeah, you've eaten 36 pumpkin pies in your lifetime, it'd be like, wow, 36 pumpkin. That's one pumpkin pie a year.
Let's go this way. Let's go this way. Somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, listen, I've got $2,000 for you to eat as much pumpkin pie as you want. You get as many pumpkin pies as you want.
I like pumpkin pie.
I do too. But like, what number would you put that at? That they're like, whatever you eat, you get $2,000. I would be like, I could eat like 2, maybe 3.
Wow, that's
you. If I'm really forcing it, if I haven't eaten all day long, I could maybe eat 3 pumpkin pies.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, I would struggle to get through 1.5.
Like, time is no issue. Time is no, I'm not saying in 8 okay. minutes. All right. Like, you've got however long you want, and here's $2,000. Could you eat 3 pumpkin pies?
Yeah, but 3 pumpkin pies, like, seriously, it would probably take me 3 days.
It would take me a long time to eat 3 pumkin pies. Yeah. And also, I don't think I could eat 4.
3 pumpkin pies in a year. Like, I don't. You eat pumpkin pie, what, twice a year? Thanksgiving and Christmas? And I got to tell you,
oh, you're fancy getting into Christmas.
To say that I ate a full pumpkin pie a year.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, because you're only getting like a slice at a time, right? Like, imagine somebody was like, here you go. Here's a pie for you and a pie for us. All right, I can eat this pie.
Fatty on Thanksgiving and Christmas, like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm only going to get just let me get a piece of pumpkin pie. And that piece is like, and right. It's like a third of the pie.
And now imagine it was like, also, you get no turkey, no stuffing, no mac and cheese, no green beans, nothing else. All you get is pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
I'd still struggle, man, because it's like, it's so rich and it's so sweet. Like,
that's the problem. I'm white. Ours isn't that rich and sweet.
I mean, I don't think this is a race thing, man. Cause I gotta tell you, I'm one of the black people that they'd tell you, it's not really black, because black people don't eat pumpkin pie. They eat sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
So the fact that I'm even eating
that's true.
Pumpkin pie,
that's
is
true.
Already like, oh, that's gross to begin with. Like,
it's a good point. Sweet potato pie is where it's at.
I don't enjoy sweet potato pie. Like, I'll eat it if it's there. It is not my go-to. I am a pumpkin pie fan all the way, but seriously, at the end of the night, on like the most that I've eaten, like, I've probably eaten half of a pumpkin pie on a Thanksgiving or a Christmas. Like, that's, and then I, like, that sounds insane to think that, like, you know, you've eaten that much pumpkin pie after, like, on top of what you've eaten in the entire day.
Yeah, that, like, sounds,
that's
insane.
A lot of pumpkin pie.
Sonia,
I dare to say that I wouldn't think that I double that amount on Christmas, because it's like Thanksgiving is the,
is that's the eating day, right?
I was gonna say Christmas, it's like maybe I have pumpkin pie, but maybe I gorge myself on something else.
Cookies and shit, right?
Right, yeah, like other, because there's other shit.
So there is no sweet potato pie record, but there is a sweet potato casserole record, and that's held by Sonia Thomas, who ate 8.62 pounds of sweet potato casserole in 11 minutes.
In 11 minutes. That's so much sugar and sour, or sugar and sweet potato and fucking brown sugar and marshmallow.
Sonia Thomas is 54 years old? Good Lord. I didn't realize that.
That's crazy.
She's also, so that was back in 2004. So she's held that record. Nobody's even touching that record. She's 105 pounds.
What? That's more crazy than her being 50 years old.
Yeah, that's insane.
Eating that much pie and still being able to be like, yeah, I'm only a buck.
All right, I got to look up her records now because she's got a ridiculous amount of records. She ate 6.5 pounds of crawfish in 10 minutes. She ate 11 pounds of cheesecake in 9 minutes. Oh, she ate 7 burgers that were 3/4 pounds in 10 minutes.
Oh,
she ate 4 pounds, 14 1/4 ounces of fruitcake in 10 minutes. She ate 44 Maine lobsters, which are 11.3 pounds of meat from the shell in 12 minutes. She ate 31.5 4-inch cheese quesadillas in 5 minutes. 9 pounds of crawfish jambalaya in 10 minutes. The sweet potato casserole record, she ate 80 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes. 47 dozen Acme oysters in 8 minutes. 7 3/4 pounds turducken in 12 minutes. 46 crab cakes in 10 minutes. 8.31 pounds of Vienna sausage in 10 minutes. 46 mince pies in 10 minutes.
God.
6.93 pounds of buffalo chicken tenders in 10 minutes. 10 pounds, 3 ounces of meatballs in 12 minutes. 9.75 pounds of deep fried okra in 10 minutes. 26 dozen cherry stone clams in 6 minutes. A 9-pound cheeseburger in 27 minutes. 8 pounds, 2 ounces of chili cheese fries in 10 minutes.
She ate a pound of hamburger in 3 minutes average on that. Like,
yeah.
9 pounds. She ate a pound in 3 fucking minutes. Holy shit.
4 pounds of toasted ravioli in 12 minutes. That's her. Those are her records. Holy shit. She does not get the respect she deserves.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.